To Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And we'll be looking at several verses tonight. Perhaps a text that is not common in missionary conferences, but starting in verse 7, we'll be looking through verse chapter 16. Let's start out reading the text, and then we'll look at it as we progress throughout the evening, but let's start in prayer first. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You that in You we have been redeemed. I thank You that in You we have been made new creations. I thank You that in You we do have the power over darkness. I thank You that at the moment of salvation You have sealed us with Your Holy Spirit. And I thank You for the blessing to be sent out as messengers with Your Word, with Your gospel, with that power that can change lives. But Lord, I pray now that tonight as I give forth Your word, that You would help me to express Your truth accurately, and that Your people would listen with open and attentive hearts that would seek to be changed, to become more like Yourself. In Your name, amen. Ephesians chapter 5, starting verse 7, the text says, "Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which were done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Today we live in evil days. All we have to do to realize that is to look at the recent news headlines and what happened to our great country yesterday or the day before. But not only in our country, but also in other countries around the world. Recently in Uruguay, they passed laws that swept across the country in regards to homosexuality, in regards to marijuana and some of these things. And now as I send my girls to school, to their private school, sometimes as they walk in to that building, they see some of their classmates. And as they walk through the city square, sometimes they see something that I saw as a teenager in Holland. They see these teens, they see these young adults lighting up and imbibing in intoxicating substances that will hold them back from a promising future. Oftentimes we are confronted in this world with situations, with pressures that fly directly in the face of who we are as believers. And how are we to respond? I believe that there are two ways to respond. Fortunately, God's Word gives us the correct answer in light of this. It says that we are to be as light, that we are to walk as light in this increasingly dark world. And you know, the world is many different complex and different situations. And the Bible does not give us the choice A, B, and C, and the answer is A in every single situation, does it? But the Bible does show us how we are to walk. The Bible says that it is a light unto our path. And so, as I look historically at Christianity, Christians historically have responded to this dark world in which we live in one of two ways, generally speaking. And if we go too far to one direction or too far to the other direction, we're going to get ourselves in deep trouble. The first one, typically, has been to blend into our surroundings. This is something that I, as a missionary kid, and oftentimes we as believers, tend to do. How many of you like to stick out like a sore thumb? Raise your hand. All right, we have one. Generally speaking, we don't like to be that one saying, me, I'm the oddball here in the group. Generally speaking, we don't like to do that. But oftentimes, as we go into a dark and desperately sinful world, sometimes as believers, We have to make that hard choice, don't we? And we have to stand and give a clear gospel testimony of who we are, first through our actions and then through our words. And oftentimes we think, as we're in the church building, oh, that's easy to do. I can do that. No problem. Next time I'm faced with the situation, the Lord will give me strength and grace and I'll respond correctly. May that be so. The other way of responding is not to stick out as a sore thumb, if you will, and confront error head on. The other way that Christians typically have responded is to go and join the local monastery. Now, praise the Lord, I love the local church. I love this body of believers. I sense a kinship. I sense that what you are doing here, it is a model for what we are trying to do in Uruguay. There is a kinship. There is a fellowship here of believers. I see different parts of the body of Christ working here. And we strive to emulate that in Uruguay. But oftentimes, we come to church on Sundays. We come to church on Wednesday nights. We come to these missions conferences. And it's like we're in a greenhouse, isn't it? And we tend to hide in our little monastery, in our little enclosure. And we try and stay far away from the world. We dress a certain way, we act a certain way, and you know, I'd really rather not rub shoulders with that guy that smokes and drinks and does all the rest of that at work. But you know, we need to talk to that person at work. That is a person who is lost, is on their way to hell, and oftentimes they don't even realize it. And if we stay in our own cloister, if we stay in our own monastery, how are we going to impact them? And so tonight is my desire to address this topic of apathy, both from the side of the world and also from the side of the believer. Now, I can already tell where you're going with this. I can see some of your faces out there, and you're saying, okay, Pastor Paul, Missionary Paul, if you point the finger at me, you know there's four pointing back at you. Amen. I'm preaching this message just as well to myself as to some of you. I heard some of our other fellow missionaries express this truth throughout the week. Going to work on a day-to-day basis. You go by the shoe stand, the man that polishes the shoes throughout the week. You go by the fruit stand, and you tend to just kind of look right over the top of their heads. We as believers, oftentimes, it's so easy to become apathetic and not to see the needs around us. Is that perhaps not the reason why atrocities happen in our world? If we just take the time to make the difference, maybe some of these things wouldn't happen. Well, let's look at the text, because I don't want to be all darkness and gloom. I believe there is light here this evening. Let's look at our text. It says, in verse 7, be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but. Anytime you see in the scripture, but, there's a contrast, there's hope. And I love what it says here. It says, but now ye are ye, what? Light in the Lord. But now are ye light in the Lord. The Bible says that we must be light. Light is the complete opposite of apathy. Light is the complete opposite of darkness. Light is one of the byproducts of powerful energy. And when God made the world, one of the first things that He did and that He created was what? Light. Without light, all things would cease to exist. When God made His new creation, the old passed away and the new came into being. One of the greatest killers of the youth in Uruguay is suicide. And oftentimes we see that spike during the dark winter months of July and August. We have today in Uruguay a generation that is called the knee generation. No, they're not talking about their knees. This is the generation that ni estudia ni trabaja. They don't study and they don't work. You know what they do? They stay at home all day. And why is that? Because they have no hope. They have no future. They don't see a way out. And yet these are the folks that need our light. They hole up in their little caves and they despair. And before the gospel light reached out, we also were part of the same generation of folks that we like to call in Uruguay, Nini. We were without hope, we were without light, we were without life. However, when God created us and made us light, He opened our eyes to understand the glory of God as reflected in the face of Jesus Christ. Instead of being self-focused and walking in the darkness of this world's goals, we became what? We became Christ-focused. Our relationship with Him as revealed through the letter of His love to us gave us hope and life. Sometimes as we work with folks in Uruguay, they come into the church and they make professions of salvation. And why is that? Because they have certain needs. We hear about family needs. We hear about financial needs. We hear about work needs. We hear about folks that are anxious, that are nervous. We have a great amount of people that we work with like that. And they come into our church building and they come for counseling and we share God's word with them and they make a decision. But oftentimes these decisions are just surface. The light doesn't always break through. Would you pray that that would change in the lives of those that we have witnessed to, that we have shared the gospel light with? See, oftentimes this world has a darkness that is deep. And it's hard to break through. And so we as believers, we need to be light in a dark world. As light, we must illuminate our dark world. Verses 8 through 10, it says, "Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." I believe this unpacks what it means to be believers who are light. To be light is to be, first of all, goodness. To be good. This means that we desire the best for others, even if it means sacrificing what we desire. Let me pick on Pastor here just a minute. He likes to be picked on, right? It's okay. Is ministry always convenient for you, Pastor? No, it's not. In Uruguay, there is the tradition that when a person dies, they have an all-night wake. It's somewhat of a Catholic country, although that's not the main religious group. I think it'd rather be secular humanism. But when a person dies in Uruguay, oftentimes as a pastor, as a missionary, I'll get a call. Or my wife will come home and she'll say, so-and-so told me on WhatsApp. Yes, we use social media. I saw in the newspaper so-and-so died. And this might be the relative of a relative of a friend. But this is a wonderful opportunity for us to go and rub shoulders with folks. And oftentimes I'm in the middle of a project. You ever in the middle of a project, Pastor, and you get the call? You know, you're working on the house, you're working on a sermon, you have to do something for the girls. You know how it is. You ever been inconvenienced, folks, here tonight? I'm sure you have. But that's what it means to be goodness. Sometimes we have to sacrifice what we believe is best for ourselves for the good of another. That's what it means to be light. Are you willing to awake from a good night's rest if it means that you can meet the need of another? Some of our greatest opportunities in Uruguay have been at these all-night funerals. Recently, Onyx and Margot lost her mother. And I think I wrote to some of you. Some of you probably saw that little note. I sent out a little flag, a little flare. Hey, pray for me. I got this all-night thing. Actually, that wasn't all-night, but I have this opportunity to go and work with this unsaved family. And for about 6 to 8 hours, I got intensive care with them. And boy, was that great. We went to the cemetery. At the funeral home, we went and to the funeral home, and I asked the two sisters, one is strongly Roman Catholic, the other one was saved through our ministry, and asked them, would it be okay if I shared the gospel? The mother wasn't saved. She didn't know the Lord. Boy, that's a tough one, isn't it? As a pastor, having to preach the funeral of an unsaved, lost person. But it was another opportunity to share the gospel. And then as we went to the cemetery, as we walked into the cemetery, there were the nuns from the local monastery, the local cloister there, waiting at the entrance to the cemetery. And they did their little thing, and we walked on back to put Margot's mother in the niche. And once again, the nun, she did her thing, and I thought I wouldn't get an opportunity, but I got this little wink from Margot, like, you will say something, right, Pastor? What an opportunity to do something good there and give light. But it's not only goodness. That's not only what it means to be light. But it says also here in the text that to be light is to be righteousness. Light is righteousness. Righteousness refers to God's standard of conduct as revealed to us by His Word. I won't dwell on this, but a person who is righteous or just is consistently this way before God and his fellow man. One of the groups that I desire to reach, that my wife desires to reach, this is a little bit more her specialty. Some of us have a certain ability with different age groups. I love working with children. I enjoy that. I enjoy working with older adults. My wife's niche is working with teenagers. That's where she's good. But something that we have seen in Uruguay, and I'm sure you've seen it here in the church as well, is that as you work with teenagers, they look to see if you are righteous, if you are just. If there is any hint of hypocrisy in you, if there is any hint or subtleness that what you say doesn't match your walk and your walk doesn't match your talk, they're gone. Would you pray for us that the Lord would allow us to reach these teenagers in our community? Oftentimes we see the children come up through 12 years of age, and then they hit that age 13, and they go into the high school. They're totally bombarded with things like marijuana, the things that are totally secular, with the pressures of that level of high school. And off they go because suddenly I'm an adult. I'm a teenager. Would you pray for us that the Lord would give us more teens to work with? For that, we need to be goodness. We need to be righteous, unhypocritical, to be just. But a light is also not only to be good and to be right, but it is also truth. In the context of Ephesians 4:22 and Ephesians 5:6, truth is in direct contrast to the lives of those that would deceive with empty or false words. Speaking truth requires boldness, and at times it requires effort, especially when done in love. I think there is nothing more that will fight apathy in our midst than to speak truth in love. Confrontation is the opposite of passively just going along with the flow of life and down the path of sin. It is, however, going to happen as we reflect the true relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. Christ lovingly rebuked the Pharisees. Did you hear how Christ rebuked the Pharisees sometimes as he goes through the Gospels? Pretty harsh. You ever wonder why he was so harsh with them? Because they were asleep. They were dead. And he wanted to shake them and wake them up. And sometimes we need to be bold and we need to speak truth. Sometimes if we have to even be confrontational, don't we? It's not an easy thing to do, but we need to do it. Being light also entails that we will enlighten what pleases the Lord. What pleases the Lord. That's verse 10. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. First, our minds will be enlightened as to what pleases the Lord. That reminds me of Romans 12:2. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Second, we will become enlightened as to what pleases our Lord, not by an ever-changing world or feelings or a conscience influenced by circumstances, but rather by understanding and obeying His Word. One of the key foundations of our ministry in Uruguay is weekly Bible study. It's sitting down with our believers and trying to pour into their lives gospel truth, to help them to understand how that gospel truth applies to their lives. This requires devotion and diligent study. I've not been around here enough to understand what you do throughout the week, but I imagine that during the Sunday school hour on a weekly basis, and actually I have talked with some of your Sunday school teachers, I know this is taking place. Diligent study of God's Word. Nothing more than that will help you to understand what His will is for your life. And on the mission field, I'm reminded that if we do not feed ourselves in the Word, we will starve and stop bearing fruit. And if you do not systematically bathe yourself in the warmth and light of His Word, you'll be like a plant that starts to wither. Third, proving what pleases our Lord requires not only a focus on His Word, but also requires an upward focus. As plants grow in the field, they point their leaves toward the direction of the sun. The same must be true of our focus. It is easy to be critical of other believers and ministries, but instead, is it not much better to focus on what God would have us become personally in our own lives? Is it not better to seek to grow and eliminate in our own lives that which would hold us back from growing to our maximum yield? So I see, we must fight apathy. And we must do that by realizing that our current state is to be light and seeking to prove what is pleasing to the Lord. Do you find this to be true in your own life? Do you find these sources of light? Are you seeking to do what is good, righteous? Are you seeking to share truth with the lost and dying world around you? Are you seeking to prove what is the acceptable will of God for you? As you do these things, you get to know your Savior. You grow in your relationship with Him. He reveals Himself more to you. You grow in truth. You gain depth. You gain maturity. I hope that that will be true of you. And maybe, even from amongst this group, the Lord would raise up mature believers that He would send to His mission field. Praise the Lord, He's already done that by sending your pastor to Crystal Lake. But perhaps that's only the beginning. Forgive me, Pastor, but I'd like to see more go from here. You have a good group. Secondly, this evening, as light in this dark world, we must be prepared to expose the works of darkness. Verse 7 says, "Be not ye therefore partakers with them." Verses 11 through 14, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." The "them" in verse 7 refers to those that are under God's wrath in verse 6. To not be partakers with them is explained by the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18, where it talks about how we are not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. But Paul also adds in verses 11 and 12 that we are not to fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather to reprove them. I'm oftentimes reminded that our lives speak loudest. But let's not be afraid also at times to let our words speak. It takes both, not just our lives, but also our words. As we live the normal Christian life, these works of darkness will be automatically exposed. I've been doing during this last term a little bit of construction in our home, in our church building in Uruguay. We had to, in Uruguay, in our church building, we had to replace the false ceiling. And those false ceilings sometimes have been up there for, 40, 50, 60 years. And as you start ripping down that wood fiber and start pulling that down, you start finding things that you don't always expect to be there. Pastor had a wonderful story about, I believe, a skunk at one time that came here and visited you all. Well, sometimes as you go into a dark corner, all of a sudden you'll see something move and scurry away real fast. Sometimes as you shine your light into a dark corner through your testimony, sometimes these things will be exposed and they'll run away. Praise the Lord. Let's be salt. Let's be light in our dark world. And sometimes that takes the more extreme version of taking our shoe and lovingly stomping on an area of filth. But let me once again say, in love. Speaking the truth in love. Let's move on to point 3. Our time is almost gone. Being light requires a focused awareness. This is verses 15 and 16. "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." How often is it not true that we become lulled to sleep either by the cares of this world or by the riches of this world? As I talk with folks in Uruguay, a lot of times their focus is on that next job. They go from job to job to job. And if I can get just enough money to do this, or my health, or my family, and they are so lulled to sleep by their environment, by that which is around them. We here in this country, as we've come back, and we've been back a week in the United States, we have enjoyed the richness of variety that this nation has to offer. I don't think we realize what we have here oftentimes. What a richness, what a blessing still resides in the United States. But don't let that lull you to sleep. I'm reminded of Israel in the Old Testament. What happened to them? As they became rich and increased in goods, as their vineyards prospered, what happened to their hearts? They wandered far away from God. And when we are prosperous and in need of nothing, we are at our most critical point of failure. God desires that we constantly depend on Him, but most especially in times of plenty. So many times during this last term, we saw folks come to the door, as I said, of the church asking for prayer in their time of urgent need. But in times of plenty, they were nowhere to be seen. Secondly, I see here in the text, verse 16, that we are to walk wisely and not as fools. A fool is someone who lives as if God does not exist. We say that we have a personal relationship with God our Father. We say that we are His children, but oftentimes our lives do not reflect our words. And so I ask you this evening, what are your goals here for the next few days? What are your goals for the coming month? What are your goals for the coming year? As you map out your life, may it be controlled by the will of the Father. But at the same time, make active plans to serve Him on a daily basis. Tomorrow, as you get up and you go to work and you think about that unsafe coworker that, you know, it just really takes an extra effort to be around him, ask God what word He would have you say to him, to reach him, to wake him up of that spiritual darkness that he is in. Don't go dozing through life. Instead, wake up. Wake up to a lost and dying world. Wake up as God the Father showed His love that He sent His only begotten Son to die for this lost world. The clock is winding down for each and every one of us. What a joy it was just a week ago to be able to walk into Maranatha Care Center where my 90-plus grandfather is living. I thought I'd never be able to see him again. And to see him there in that care facility and to shake his hand and give him a big old hug and not know how much time he had left, but to know that he's a believer and he's still in his neck of the woods witnessing for God. You know, our clock on each and every one of us is winding down. It might be because of increasing age, or it could be because, as we talked about jokingly at supper, we'd better eat dessert first because the Lord could return at any moment. And so I ask you, are you asleep when it comes to your own spiritual apathy? Are you content with where you are at right now? Do you care for the spiritual well-being of your neighbor that lives just a few yards away from your doorstep? Do you care for that checkout person at the grocery store? You folks see that Mexican that was at a restaurant this morning, that precious soul? Did you see him this morning? He had some needs. Are you willing to step out of your comfort zone and take a little risk to lovingly confront others when they are in sin and don't realize it? We need to wake up. We need to be alert to the needs around us. I'd like to ask Pastor to come. Perhaps we could sing his closing, "Rescue the Perishing, Care for the Dying."